Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
I don't normally wear a suit jacket. My wife sort of talked me out of wearing a tie, but I wear a suit jacket. You know something happened. You know either somebody is getting married or somebody's getting buried. And we're going to do a lot of burying tonight. Just a second. Can I explain to you what's going on with baptism, what the whole purpose is? I sort of want to preach an entire message on it, but if you'll give me 30 seconds, I'll explain it. You ever been to a funeral? What do they do at a funeral? They say a few words over the person, they talk a little bit, then they take out, they put them in a grave, right? Yeah, and in the grave, they're dead, they're buried. Now, one of these days, those bodies are going to be resurrected. They're going to come back up. What we're going to do tonight is we're just going to speed the timeline up. See, here's what happened. When that moment came that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you were dead, and you had no hope in Christ, you were dead to God, you were dead to eternal life, you were dead. And in that moment, Jesus reached down, and it says that he saved you, and he gave you new life. And when he gave you new life, the dead man comes to life. The dead woman comes to life. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold your funeral tonight. But we're going to do more than that. We're going to do a baby dedication on you, too, because you're going to be born and a dedication. So the water is about a symbolism of burying the body and of it being resurrected out and coming back to live in new life. And that's what baptisms are all about. It's celebration of you participating with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Just as he died and was buried, so you were dead in your sins, you are now buried. But the life you live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for you. And that's what you're going to do. When you come up out of this water, we're going to believe that in the name of Jesus, you're never going to be the same again. Because you're now a new living creature in Jesus. All right. I get to preach. And I don't have a lot of time because 26 baptism takes a long time. Either that or we're going to be here a long time. Which one's it going to be? All right. Y'all ready? I want to read for you from Mark chapter 11. Before I do that, I want to talk to you that I've been reading in my devotions a couple of different places, and the couple of places I've been reading in my personal devotions have been about the temple. The temple. And I thought it would be appropriate when we talked about baptism and the washing away of sins, the burial of the old man, the rebirth of the new, to talk about the cleansing of the temple tonight. So it's the last week of Jesus' life. Tonight is Good Friday. The last week of Jesus' life basically happened all around the temple. And remember it started the day he rode into town on the donkey, and riding on a donkey was a sign that he was the king because kings ride on donkeys when they've won. So it was a sign that he was coming into town as the conquering king, and here he comes riding into town. And what are the people shouting? They're shouting stuff like, Hosanna, save us now. That's what Hosanna means. They're saying stuff like, blessed is the king, the son of David. They're waving flags. I know they were palm branches, but they were flags. And they're taking their coats off and throwing them in the road. Everything they're doing is calling Jesus a king. So Jesus comes into town in the big kingly celebration. And the very next morning, he wakes up and he does his first act as the king of Israel. Now, you probably never thought about it in those terms, but that's exactly the order of this story. Now that they're going to make him king, Jesus says, you want me to be king? Well, let me tell you what number one on my agenda is. So the very next day is the day this story happens. So Mark 11, verse 13 says, seeing in the distance. He's headed into town Monday morning. Palm Sunday just happened, heading into town. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went out to find out if it had any fruit. Now, this is, I'm going to talk through this and probably not preach it as much as I will talk through it. All right, y'all ready for this? Fig tree is the representative of Israel. Okay? Everywhere, even on their coinage to this very day, everybody knows a fig tree represents Israel. So Jesus, heading into town as king now, as he's heading into town, he sees a fig tree in bloom. So what did he do? He wanted to see if the fig tree representing Israel had any fruit. What's fruit? Fruit's the stuff you do that's of value. Now, you can tell me you're a Christian all day long, but unless you do something to act like a Christian, I know you're not a Christian. You know, you can say you're a car just because you're in the garage, but that doesn't mean you're a car, right? What you call yourself isn't necessarily what you are, because your fruit determines who you really are, all right? So here he is. When he reached it, he found nothing but figs, and because it was not the season for figs. He found nothing but leaves because it's not season for figs. And he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit of you again." By the way, later on in the week, Jesus is going to sit in the temple and say, not one stone of this temple is going to be left. They're all going to be turned over. And by the way, it happened just a few years later in AD 70. All right, so in reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were selling there. Where did he go first? Jesus' first stop as king was to the temple. And what did he do? Well, John gives a little more insight. Jesus only cleansed the temple once. He was dead 3 days after he did it, by the way. But he only cleansed the temple once. There wasn't two cleansings, only one. I know John puts it a different place, but John's writing for theological, not for time purposes. All right, Anyway, all that to say, John tells us that Jesus sat down and intentionally made a whip before he did it. So Jesus is thinking about what he's going to do when he walks in the temple. And he walks in the temple. What does he do? He began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling gloves, doves. Doves, that's key. We'll come back to that. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts because they'd made it a shortcut. You know, the temple court was big. Did y'all realize that, right? Temple court was actually big. It was a couple of acres. So if you wanted to do business in town, you had to go around the temple, or they just said, okay, we'll just let you shortcut through. And Jesus said, nuh-uh, ain't no shortcuts through my house. All right, so anyway, as he taught them, he said, is it not written, my house will be made a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this. They began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And when the evening came, listen, we're back to the fig tree. Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And they're like, whoa, Peter remembered. Jesus said, Rabbi, look. The fig tree you cursed is withered. And Jesus said this, have faith in God. And truly I tell you, if anyone says this mountain, by the way, he's probably looking at Mount Zion, where the temple was. And he said, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what God says, what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, why did he say this here? If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Now, I just read you a whole story, and it's like boom, 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 boom. So I just want to tie it all together, because what I'm talking about tonight is the cleansing of the temple. And you think I'm talking about Jesus with a whip in his hand driving the money changers out. Well, let's see. First of all, the fig tree represents Israel. We already covered that. And Jesus was cursing Israel because it had no fruit. All right. The second thing, temple. There's a lot going on at the temple. There's merchandise being carried through, right? We've already established that. There's buying and selling of money. And you know what money changers do, right? They jack up the price, they trade the money to you, and they reduce the amount of money that you get out of your trade. Y'all know that, right? Anybody ever exchange money in a foreign currency exchange? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, you always lose money because there's a fee attached to it, correct? So people needed to pay the temple tax or whatever it was when they came to worship there, and these money changers had set up tables, and they were making a killing because the people who just wanted to worship God were being sold for a dollar. All right, so what else is going on? There's doves being sold. Why doves? Why are there no lambs being sold there? Because lambs would be rich people. You know, the Bible says that the people who were to bring doves for sacrifices were the poor. So who were they exploiting in God's house? The poor. So the powerful people weren't using their power to give mercy and justice to the poor. They were using their power to exploit the poor. And can I say, if that happens in Jerusalem or in America or anywhere else, you will stand before God, because if God gives you some kind of power, it is to raise up the powerless, not to walk on them. So Jesus stopped all that and restored the temple to a place of prayer and peace. He said, this house is going to be a place where people aren't mistreated. It's going to be a house where God is exalted, and it's going to be a place of peace, not of more frenetic activity. Hold on, y'all didn't get that. The temple of God, the house of God, the temple where God dwells, is to be a place where there is peace. It's to be a place where those who are oppressed can be lifted up. It can be a place where you and God can connect. All right. And then Jesus gives us instruction on prayer. Y'all all right if I get a little crazy here for about 3 or 4 minutes? Listen to what Jesus said. He said, have faith in God. Hey, did you know the fig tree you cursed? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. What do? Have faith in you, right? Have faith in my powerful prayers. No? Have faith that I'm doing the right thing, therefore God's got to do it. No. This isn't about you. You want to get your prayers answered? Quit making it about you. Have faith in God. Where's your faith to be? In God. When you pray, it's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about what you want. It's about what He wants. A lot more of our prayers would get answered if at some point we ask God, what do you want out of this instead of what I want? If you align yourself with God's sovereign and divine purpose, He will be glad to give you what you're praying for. Amen. Have faith in God. That's where it starts. All right. So I'm reminded of a missionary of ours, and I'm working to get him back to tell this story because he tells it better than I do, so you'll hear it again. But he was a missionary. He was in a Muslim-speaking country, and it was that prayer time, and it was, was in whatever dialect he was in, and it was a loudspeaker in the middle of the square, and it was like the prayer time. Has anybody ever been in a Muslim country? You heard that? I have. It is an eerie thing to hear the loudspeaker. It's crazy. Well, when the loudspeaker would start with this, he was mad. Nothing was going right. He's an American missionary there to tell them the gospel of Jesus. And all day, every day, he's running into roadblocks, and he's just, come on, the devil's messing with him. And then that speaker starts up. And here he is, he's 6'4", big white guy in an Asian country where everybody's about 5'6" max. And in the middle of a square with thousands of people around, the speaker starts up. And he said, I got so mad, I don't even know why I did it. I just turned and said, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. And the speaker went dead. I guess a mouse had chewed the wires. I don't know what or how it happened. All I know is this. He said, from that moment on, He knew that not only was God with him, but he knew he was going to tell people about Jesus. And people heard and responded because his faith wasn't in his finger. His faith wasn't in his purposes. His faith is, I'm tired of the devil messing with people. Stop it, devil. Amen. These are Jesus's people. I might start preaching here. Y'all might have to hang on. All right, I was supposed to just give a devotion. And you're laughing. Wow, all right. All right. Believe that your prayers are heard. Listen to these words. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. I don't think we pray like this enough. Most of us pray with this little doubt. God, if it's your will, blah, 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 or I hope, or I want, or God, give me, or whatever it may be that keeps your prayers from having power. But if you think about it just a second, if you really believe the God of the universe is on your side when you pray, and you prayed, something might actually happen. I got 1 minute. Y'all ready? When I was a little boy, we were picking blackberries down the country road in Oklahoma. I don't know if you've been down a country road in Oklahoma about 1972, but around 1972 in Oklahoma on a country road, a dirt country road in the middle of nowhere, nobody drove down those country roads. And we were on one of the very back of the back of the back roads. You go to nowhere and hang a left, 3 miles down the road was where our berry patch was. So we get there and something really dumb happened. We locked our keys in the car. And the keys are in the car. You know, we've been out fighting the chiggers and the brambles and all this stuff. And we bring our stuff back to the car and bring our buckets and set them down, try to open the car, and that we can't get in the car. And my dad's like, the keys are right there hanging in the ignition. And we're like, what are we going to do? And my mom, crazy mother who loves Jesus and believes God, she said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to pray. So I remember, I still remember this. It's one of my earliest childhood memories. Leaning over and putting my hand on that Skylark Buick, that beige four-door Skylark Buick, and putting my hand on it and saying, Jesus, open this door. And about that time, we heard a car coming down the road. So we waved down the car. The car came over. They happened to have a hanger in their car. And we broke into the car. And within 5 minutes of praying that prayer, we were in the car. Now, you can tell me all day long, all you want to, that's just a coincidence. But I tell you what, the more I pray, the more coincidences happen. So here's what we're going to do. I asked you for permission to be a little crazy. Are you in the room today and you got something you're praying about that you would love to see God intervene? There's something that you need an answer right now. Physical healing, spiritual breakthrough, somebody being saved. I don't care what it is. The bill's getting paid. I don't know what it is, a new job. Maybe it's your marriage situation. Whatever it is, you would like to pray a prayer and believe that God would hear it right now. If that's you, stand on your feet right now. We're going to say a prayer. Come on, you're in this room and that's you. Can we just get radical and crazy right now? Would you just pray like you mean it, like God might hear you? Come on, would you just, you don't have to be all crazy, but would you lift your voices and maybe ask him out loud? Could we make God's house a house of prayer tonight? Would we lift up our voices in prayer? Father, right now, we lift our voices. I lift my voice for you. You know God. You know that one. You know that prayer that I'm praying. Right now in this room that's lifted their voice in prayer, they have asked in faith of you, Jesus, having faith in God. Right now, hear their prayer. Bring a miracle to this situation in the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. Amen. Pull you up a chair. I'm going to finish quick. Y'all ready? I got to handle this one. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. What are you going to do? forgive them. Do you know the Bible says that if anybody ever started your prayers with like, oh no, God, I screwed up again, please forgive me. Anybody ever do that other than me? All right. So we've all done that? All right. You want God to forgive you? If you want God to forgive you, you got to forgive those that have done wrong to you. Period. Can we practice this? God, forgive them. Try it with me. I know it hurts, all right? But you're thinking about them. Come on, out loud. Y'all ready? God, forgive them. Oh, guess what? Now your prayers can be heard. Last thing. Here's where we're winding up. The band's going to come out. Here's where we're winding up. We don't have a temple building to pray in anymore. This is an auditorium. This is a platform, not a stage. This is a platform. This is an auditorium. It is not a sanctuary. This is not a sanctuary. Are y'all following me?
Yes.
This is an auditorium. But you know what is filling this auditorium? A lot of sanctuaries. Do you know what the scripture says about you? This is what it says about you. You ready? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you receive from God? Who's the temple? You are. We are together. You are individually. We are together. One more thing. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Who's the temple? You are. So we're to honor God in our relationships. We're to honor God in our thoughts. We're to honor God in our actions. And the reason I wanted to talk about cleansing of the temple is this. It's about time that we restore this temple as a house of peace and a house of prayer. We got way too much anxiety in the church today. And the reason we get so much anxiety is because we're always trying to fix it rather than letting God fix it. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace will fill you. Do you know what we need in this temple? A cleansing. God's tired of you being somebody that is constantly being run through by the passions of this world. You're just a causeway for whatever's on your phone. God wants us to be a place of prayer where we call out to Him instead of worry. God wants us to be a people of purity who are devoted to doing the right things with our bodies instead of the wrong things. God wants me to be a person who stands up for the defenseless and the weak and the poor. That's what God wants. God wants you to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants for you. And it is not enough to sit in a room and listen to some guy talk in a microphone and sing a couple of songs and go through some rituals. It is not enough. We need to restore again the lordship of Jesus to His temple. And that's what I'm calling you tonight, in the name of Jesus, to commit your body, your mind, your spirit to be a full temple of the Holy Spirit. All right. I'm fired up, and if you knew all the miracles that I'd seen this week, you'd be fired up too. Come on. God is moving, and God is doing all kinds of cool stuff. You're in this room tonight, though, and you're hearing me talk about submitting your life to God, and you're like, I haven't done that. Well, there's no better time than right now. You know God's talking to you. I'm not good enough to say what your spirit's feeling right now. And God is urging you that it's time for you to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, to stop being like everybody else, but to be a man or woman of God. It is tonight's the night, right now, not later. And you know, I ought to do the raise your hand and say the prayer, and I ought to do all that, but I'm not going to do that. Because what we're going to do is we're going to cleanse the temple. Amen. we're going to celebrate communion. And we're going to put a wafer in your hand and a cup in your hand. And when you hold that, you're going to hold a representation of the broken body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. And if in that moment, your heart is saying to you, it's time for me to have this temple cleansed and to follow Jesus all the way, I just want you to pray that prayer. And when we receive that cup together, Jesus is going to hear and he's going to answer. And you're going to be clean and well and restored, and the peace of God's going to come in. All right, everybody understand? So we have open communion. This is about the time of night Jesus was taken down off the cross. We have open communion. We're going to celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to remember it. And we're going to do so in a respectful way. If you want to respect the body and blood of Jesus Christ with it, we're going to invite you to celebrate communion with us. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to join our church. We ask that you respect this moment. And then when we pray that prayer and you take of that bread, if it's your day and it's your time, just go ahead. Because all God's waiting for you to say is, okay. And when you say, okay, his forgiveness and grace is going to come over and restore you completely. Amen. Father, I pray the next couple of moments would be super spiritual and that these temples would be cleaned. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. There'd be a cleansing of the temple and a restoration of lives in the name of Jesus. And there are those in this place, they were addicted when they came in here today. They were addicted. In the name of Jesus, they're going to be freed right now. In the name of Jesus, they're going to be free. And there are those that they came in here and they had unforgiveness. And they prayed for prayer of forgiveness for somebody. And you're going to release them from the tension and anxiety of unforgiveness. God, there are others that they are going to give their lives to you. And their life is going to be yours forever. And you're going to restore them and rebuild them a new life. In the name of Jesus, there are those that need healing, and they're going to get it. There are those that they need miracles, they're going to get it. Because God, we aren't putting our faith in us, we're putting our faith in you. Hear our prayer. Amen. Man, those serving communion are coming at this time.